Ramble.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of You Can Sit With Us. I'm one of your hosts, Becky, and I'm joined by Maggie.
Hello.
And Ariel.
Hi.
And our podcast pick set, Rainy.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Yes, she's back in the studio again because Miles is still out of the office at the moment, but we're thrilled to have you.
Thank you.
Everybody loved your femininity episode.
Yes.
Thank you. Well, it was all, you guys had the deep thoughts. So thank you for being the best host for that episode.
All those deep thoughts that we had.
And you actually came up with another prompt for us. You're just a little prompt machine over there.
Prompty. Yeah. Thank you. Yes, today's episode is on aging. I think people have a lot of different approaches to aging. Mm-hmm. And so I want to hear about how you guys are feeling and how you guys used to feel. And I think aging comes with youth and comes with getting older and learning more. And so I'm excited to hear what you guys, what wisdom you have.
Oh, wow.
There's this book that we read to Wes before bed. I don't know if you guys ever read Berenstain Bears.
Oh, yeah.
But we inherited a bunch of books from my parents, and Wes, they list a bunch of more books on the back, and so we've gotten a bunch more. But there's one that is, they spend a week at grandma's, and there's this one line where, the grandparents say something, or like the kids are like, "You guys know so much. How do you know so much?" And they're like, "Well, you know, it's great being an old person because every day you learn something new." And the kids look at them and they say, "Well, you must know everything because you are so old."
Oh, boy.
I just thought about that. And I'm like, huh. Rainy, you are in like your early 20s, right?
I was about to say, I think a good place to start would be, how old is everyone?
Yeah.
I'm 31 and I'll be 32 in May.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm 29 and I'll be 30 in November. So I just freshly 29. Go ahead.
Wow.
Yeah.
I can't wait for Maggie's 30th birthday.
Woo!
What are we going to call it? Flirty 30?
And thriving.
Yeah.
What else do we call it?
And I, how old am I? I am 36.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'll turn 37 in November.
I'm 24 and I'm going to turn 25 in a second, February.
Ooh, oh my gosh. Yeah,
in February. But going to nostalgia. Do you guys have when you think of youth shining memory or warm memory or calm, what do you think of?
I have this memory of me and my sister. My mom was always too nervous to let us roller skate outside. Not that I grew up in a rough part of town where there was lots of crime, whatever. My mom just had a lot of things to do in the house and she wasn't comfortable with us being outside unsupervised. So in the winter, me and my younger sister would roller skate around a 500 square foot garage.
Oh.
And we had an intercom system and we would go hours and hours.
Cute.
And I just remember the song Starry-Eyed Surprise and me and my younger sister just vibing.
So cute.
Yes. And then sometimes it'd be too cold, so my dad would turn on this space heater, but it was an actual flame. It was an actual, it was not safe. But
it's like a fire pit.
Yeah, for real. And then I just remember my mom didn't want to bother the neighbors. So she installed this intercom system between the garage and the house. She's like, "Ladies, it's time for dinner."
But then eventually
they had to take it away because me and my sister would get on fights and we'd be bringing the dog towards each other. But that's one of my childhood memories that I can never let go because it's just so funny.
That's
adorable. Are we talking rollerblades?
Rollerblades.
No. I'm
so good.
I can picture all of it. I just couldn't picture the retro skates or the blades?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. 90s babies doing those blades.
Yeah,
blades for life.
I'm a big senses person. So smells and tastes are huge for me. So certain foods bring me back to childhood.
Mm.
But smells, oh my God, I spent so much time with my grandparents when I was little, my mom's parents. I did with my dad's parents too, but I specifically, Estee Lauder perfume and cigarettes are
Is it Estee Lauder Beautiful?
Burned. I don't know. I just know it's an Estee Lauder perfume. But like literally I have like records from my grandparents. I have some of my grandpa's old clothes. I have like all of these, like I have all my grandma's Christmas stuff. And like literally you just open it up and I'm immediately like, you take a big whiff of it. And I'm like, I feel like I'm little again.
That's so interesting that when you're little and when like your grandparents are old, it's the same smell.
Yeah. I mean, eventually it smelled less like cigarettes because he stopped smoking. But most of my childhood was spent with him smoking. So it was just like this musky cigarette
and perfume.
Yeah. But also now the smell of cigarettes absolutely disgusts me.
Really?
Interesting.
Yeah, I can't stand it. If I see a grown adult smoking at a party, I'm like, what's wrong with you? If there's like a 60-year-old smoking, I'm like, I get it. You were tricked as a child. You are now addicted to this. Even when the boys, I like was very mad at Keith when they did their like old Hollywood men shoot. I don't know if his picture ended up going in it or if they ended up taking part of it out, but he had to have a cigarette for what he was doing.
Oh, really?
And it was a lit cigarette. And I was like, did you take a puff off of a lit cigarette? And he was like, yeah, because I could smell it on him when he got home. And I was like, that's fucked up.
Wow.
I was like, that's disgusting.
That's
I
so
hate
funny.
It.
Like a single, just being a single, in the room with a cigarette.
I am so like, that is my number one, like,
I used to be so disgusted scared of people by. Who smoke. I was really afraid that I would start smoking, which is like,
oh no,
I had nightmares about it. I was like, so,
oh no.
Yeah, the smell. I think it's like the lack of control because you like see those people in like icy climates.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, you like are controlled by this.
Oh yeah, when they're standing outside all bundled up and smoking. Yeah. I mean, it is an addiction. It's an addictive substance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, young people who smoke, if you're listening to this and you smoke,
stop.
Or I will come to your house and I will find you and I will shame you until you put it away.
And it's Truth campaign. Becky cares about
is here.
You.
It's here.
Yeah. But so is it a good smell, like the albums and the clothes? Or is it
those are good.
That's
smells.
Still good, even though it's cigarettes.
Even though it's cigarettes. Because they're kind of like musted with cigarettes.
Yeah.
Not like, you know, it's like
full blown.
An old one. But like, yeah, the new cigarette smoke, I'm like,
Yeah, it does smell different. I don't know.
It's something. I don't know if it's they were making cigarettes from back then or what, but
yeah.
Maybe it's just old cigarette smoke smells.
They don't use this hand soap a lot anymore, but you know when you go into Target and they have like the very like fluorescent pink? That reminds me of childhood a lot. Like that reminds me so much of childhood. I'm like,
am I in Ms. Hines' class? I know. Third grade.
Every time I smell that, I think of just being young.
It's like school soap.
Yes. Oh, yeah. School soap.
Yeah, absolutely.
For naivete, do you have a memory of like just getting in way over your head or just like having a undeserved confidence?
I just, for as long as I can remember, I have been able to muster up confidence that is completely like massively undeserved.
Superpower.
You know, I think at some point I convinced myself that you needed to fake it to make it. And so I always got really good at, just adding a little bit to stories and things like that. Ned hates it when I do that. He hates it because he's like, I was there and that isn't what happened, you know? And I'm like,
you're an embellisher.
I'm an embellisher. I am. And it's always made me like a good storyteller, but to the detriment of the people that were there, you know, my sister too. My sister, she hates it when I embellish stories. She's like, that didn't happen. I'm like, well, it basically did. It just didn't happen to me. You know?
It happened to someone somewhere at some time.
Yeah, exactly. Being larger than life, I guess, in some ways. Like, I was really nervous the first time that I met you guys. And remember, I got drunk, dropped a plate of food.
Oh my God.
She wasn't. It was just me and Matt.
Okay.
This was like first holiday party.
I was really,
ever.
Really nervous.
That plate of food story will stay with me till the day I die.
I was mortified, but I was just like, I can't be mortified right now. I can't be this. I'm going to be hilarious. I'm going to kick it under the table, you know, like, yeah. And how did that come off?
It was crazy. It was crazy. The next day I was like, that chick really just kicked some food under a table. Whoa.
Wait, was this at like the BuzzFeed?
Yeah, it was the BuzzFeed like first ever holiday party when the boys were there.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Had Keith and Ned been working together at the time? Like, did they have like a working relationship, or were they sort of like all in the class of?
They had a working relationship.
I think they had a working relationship, and I want to say they maybe had done
a couple of
Try Guys video or two.
Okay,
but it wasn't.
But at the time,
the Try Guys, yeah,
they like because they were so popular at the time. You know, like the underwear ones really just skyrocketed.
Yeah.
And so I think it was around that time when they were sort of these like minor celebrities at BuzzFeed, you know, because they had these videos that were just taking off.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, oh, those are the guys that had like the 10 million plus videos or whatever. And so, you know, we on the coattails of them were like, we are also minor celebrities here. Yeah, I remember that.
That was a funny party. Mm-hmm. I don't remember much of it.
Nor I.
I don't remember much.
I want to hear more about other people's naivete.
Oh, no.
My naivete. Hey. I mean, I would say I lived a youth where I didn't do many bad things.
I know. I feel similarly to you. I was always like such a rule follower. Like I'd probably be the type of person like, oh, I don't fit the criteria for this. Okay. I have no business doing that. Okay. I'm going to be over here. Like I was like very, I don't know. My parents did very good in raising me. To follow rules, because I was like, oh, can't do that.
Yeah, I think I went the opposite way, though, once I hit college, where I was like, I've been so good in my youth. Like, now's the time to be a bad kid. And I wasn't even that bad.
Bad girl Bex.
But I did get an underage drinking ticket when I was a freshman. Or sophomore in college.
Whoa.
Where were you? Yeah, what happened?
Oh, so this is very embarrassing because it was a Jersey Shore themed party.
Oh,
so I was dressed like Snooki because it was
no.
the height of like Jersey Shore. And oh, I God. Even like, because I didn't have enough money to pay it, I had to call my parents and tell them, which was like the scariest thing I've ever done because my parents like don't really drink. They don't. And like my dad was more of a bad boy than my mom was when they were little.
Uh-huh.
So like, I was like mortified. I told my mom and she was like, I can't talk to you right now. Talk to your father. And then I told my dad and he was like, send you to college and you're a little lush now. And I was like,
oh my God.
I was like crying. I was so distraught.
I feel like
it was expensive though. That college really, and I also like, yes, I should not have been underage drinking, but I will say that there were times where I should have gotten a ticket and I didn't. And this time I really did only have one hard cider. I only had one and the police officer scared me. And he said, if I took a breathalyzer and I failed, he'd take me to jail. Which
are
I think
you
was
serious?
A lie. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lie.
It was a straight up lie.
Absolutely
but
not.
The one sort of sneakier thing I did do is we did have that hard cider in my dorm room. And, you know, you weren't allowed to have alcohol in the dorms because we are underage and you should not be drinking underage.
Yeah.
So our town was called Bloomington Normal, was where the school was. So the school was in Normal. And so I just said I was drinking at a party in Bloomington because I didn't want to get in trouble for drinking in the dorms. And it turned out, because it was like a 60-person party that got busted. Uh-huh. Turned out every other person except for me and one other girl had said that they were drinking either in the dorms or at the house party or whatever it was and had to attend like an AA type class.
Way.
And they had to write a paper and they had to do all of these things because they were on campus.
Oh,
but
no.
Since we had said we were in Bloomington, we didn't get in trouble with the university at all. We faced zero repercussion, only the shame and embarrassment we brought to our families.
Wow.
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
Yeah. So
that's
I was
exhilarating. Did the police like came and they knocked on the door and you were like, oh shit.
So this is where I would say the naivete came in. I did walk past a police officer on my way to this party, like walking up the stairs. Like, what kind of dingle dongle continues to go in the door?
Right.
Yeah, they just knocked on the door and anyway, they said, yeah,
we are the police. We are. You are all underage.
Yeah. And it was basically like, yeah, everyone stand in a line, have your ID out.
Whoa.
We're either going to breathalyze you or you just tell us that you were drinking and we're going to give you this ticket.
Ouch. Whoa.
And I was like,
That's harsh.
So that was very naive of me. It was very naive. It was like a $300 ticket.
A lot.
They really, yeah. The cops in that town only made money off of those of things that happened.
Because 300 times 60.
A lot of money.
Yeah.
Mm. So yeah, that was.
You know, I mean.
Very naive of me.
So I started drinking in high school. Because you can in England.
Mm. Oh, right.
Oh, yeah.
And so
you're going to say Texas. And I was like, holy shit.
No. when I was 15, we moved to London. And you can order wine at a restaurant as a 16-year-old with your parents. But like, yeah, it's very different. It's very, very different. Like,
yeah.
It was drinking was just a very normal thing in high school. Yeah. People went to the pub after school.
Weird. And I think that's where the like healthy, not healthy medium, because alcohol is a poison. It is truly not good for your body. Yeah. But like the idea that we demonize things so much to kids, the way we do with like sex, drinking, drugs, not that kids should be doing drugs, but like we scare them in this way that when they do go out and like rebel, like I have a theory about pot that like, the reason that kids, they say pot is a gateway drug is because they tell kids that it is just as bad as cocaine and heroin and meth.
Right.
And it's truly not. And these kids are trying, they're smoking weed and then going, yes, I can do this other thing because this wasn't as bad.
Right.
Right.
They're like, well, I've done this now. Yeah. And so
I think the way that we scare kids into not doing things just makes them, I feel like I'm like a living example with my little underage drinking ticket.
Oh my God.
You know, if I hadn't been so scared of drinking when I was little, that I don't think I would have gone as like cuckoo in college with it. And like, I got my tattoo in college because I was like always told that tattoos are really bad and you shouldn't have tattoos, even though like all my uncles have tattoos.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, I want this. This is what I want.
Yeah. Fear in childhood, I feel like, is interesting. Or like how we instill fear in kids just generally.
Yeah.
And like what we warn against and what we don't really bother telling them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
In terms of anxiety. Okay. So anxiety as a kid, I think that there was some with like what to eat for breakfast. But I remember being really anxious of like mountain lions or like, fears that have dissipated with age from mostly from elementary school for right now.
Elementary specifically.
Oh.
Okay, so have you guys seen the movie Hook?
Yes.
Oh, scary.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there is a scene where, I love that movie too, but there is a scene where Hook is trying to pierce the kid's ear with his hook. At the time, I did not have pierced ears. And I had this like recurring nightmare. It wasn't even a nightmare because I wasn't asleep. I would be trying to fall asleep and I would worry that somebody was going to come in through my window and try to pierce my ear with their hook.
So didn't you sleep with your...
And so I slept. Oh, that is how I became a side sleeper, which is now the bane of my existence. I had to go to physical therapy recently and she's like, you cannot sleep on your side anymore. Yeah,
really?
Because it's messing with my neck.
Oh.
Yeah. So I would sleep with one ear on my pillow and I would sleep with the comforter covering my other ear so that nobody can get to my ears.
It sounds like this anxiety never dissipated though, because you still do it.
I still am a side sleeper, but I think that's just how I comfortably sleep now because I've been doing it since I was a kid.
Yeah.
So now I have to actually put pillows. I have to tuck myself into pillows so I don't turn over on my side at night.
You have to get one of those pillows too that are super fluffy that you can pull over your shoulders too. That helps.
That's
too.
Really smart. Yeah. I should do that. I haven't gotten a new pillow yet because I haven't quite figured out my sleeping situation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Talk about aging, guys. Yeah. I'm not allowed to sleep on my side anymore because I have neck problems. Like that feels like aging to me. You know, I feel like when you start having just like body aches, or just like normal, like you go through the day with normal pain and that's just that like what you deal with. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's sort of an age thing.
Yeah. When the weather starts to change, you feel like every single fracture.
You're like, my knees. My knees. Did you have any childhood fears, Maggie, that have dissipated over the years or are still here, still present?
Oh, yeah. I was a really skittish kid. I think I've always been afraid of the dark and I'm always just easily spooked. Mm-hmm. And that's never dissipated.
You're still afraid of the dark.
Yeah. I also work in an area where there's lots of needles and blood. I used to be terrified. I think exposure therapy helped me a lot.
How did you?
Not like treatment. Ooh. Exposure therapy, just being in the hospital and like getting comfortable being around it. But like vomiting, blood, needles, the smell of cauterization, that used to just freak me out.
Oh my God.
But I really wanted to do it. So that kind of helped propel me through my fears.
I would say I didn't have like a lot of like phobias, but I had a lot of preferences. So I was a very sort of like stuck in the mud with my, well, I have sensory issues. Like those are real things that people have.
Yeah.
So like certain clothing items, like I didn't wear jeans when I was little because I didn't like the way they constricted my legs, and like, you know, socks and shoes and things like that were really hard that I, you know, grew up and realized like, oh, if you don't like the way socks feel, you don't have to wear socks. Just, like,
yeah.
Make sure your shoes are clean and wash your feet and it's fine. Who
are
cares?
You wearing socks right now?
No. No, I have washable shoes on.
I think you're onto something though with the jeans thing. Like, why?
Yeah, they were just so constricting. And then like, and then I had an oral fixation. So I loved my blanket. I was just obsessed with this blanket. My parents like threw it out, cut it up. I got a second one. And like, I could not sleep to save my life without it. And then I lost it at a wedding like 8 years ago. No, not 8 years ago. It was Katie's wedding. So like 6 years ago, 7 years ago. No,
yeah, not
it was
even.
Eight.
Whoa.
No, it must have been.
No, not eight.
No,
years
not
ago.
Eight.
Six.
But that's interesting that your parents were sort of like, sort of pushing aging on you. They were like, it's enough with the blanket.
Yeah. I think that was more to do with my behavior with the blanket. So like, if I didn't have it, it was full. Yeah. Throwing a temper tantrum at 9 over a blanket in public is like a lot. Like that's a lot for a parent to deal
They're
with.
They're like, we need to address this.
Yeah. I think it was like, a little bit of them being like, you're too old for this. A little bit of like, you need to stop freaking the fuck out all the time.
Yeah. I do like that idea that you just raised about like pushing, like growing up onto people.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, there are certain things I think throughout people's lives that are pushed onto us or that we do to ourselves kind of are either things that we think of as like, okay, this is a grown-up thing to do, like getting a job, buying a house, having a kid, you know?
Yeah.
But like for other people, those things could happen at any time.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, buying a house was a big one for us.
Oh yeah. That was huge.
It was like,
that made me feel the most adult I've ever felt. Cause I was so confused.
Yeah.
Yeah.
just the process of like going through all of the financial stuff. That aged me many years.
Yeah.
I was like, what is all of this?
Yeah. You have like a little like 10 word vocabulary that you gain just from doing that.
Uh huh.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also interesting. So you're kind of saying like, it's easier to just not have the tantrum, like to grow up and to learn to not have it sort of. So there's something of like, oh, they're pushing you. But then it's also like that's, I think part of getting older is like, oh, there's other ways to do it. Or like there's, you know, like, or like wearing different clothes, like that, like jeans, you just don't have to wear jeans. You don't have to wear socks.
I think that came with like age, is realizing like, if you don't like, not like if you don't like something, you don't have to do it. You still have to like do your taxes and things like that. But yeah, you realize that things don't have as much weight as you think they have when you're little. Like it is like to not have your blankie when you're little is like, this is earth shattering. This is the worst thing that could possibly happen. But then you like actually have something bad happen in your life and you're like, no, this is the worst thing. Why did I even care about this blanket?
Yeah. You level up.
Yeah. That's a good way of saying it. You level up.
You level up.
Yeah.
So teenage you, I remember I was so anxious about not having been kissed? Did you guys have like 17 years old? Like, what were you super anxious about? And why are you now like, oh no, it's actually totally fine that happened?
Oh, 100%. I was a late bloomer, late bloomer, like college. I remember I had a friend who like French kissed with her boyfriend, and you know, she was talking about blowjobs, and I was like, what? Tell me more. Like, how do I do it? What do I do? How do I do it correctly? What if I'm doing it wrong? You know, I was mortified that I was going to do something wrong.
Yeah.
So mortified that like I had a boyfriend, mm-hmm. right, in middle school or something. And like, we were under pressure to French kiss each other. I don't know where the pressure was coming from. Perhaps from myself, perhaps from my friends, perhaps society. From him, just society at large. But I couldn't do it. I have a very like real memory, like physical memory of running out of the room. Like I was, we literally were like standing in the room together, and I was looking, we were like looking at each other, and I just, pure fear.
Oh.
In my entire body. And so I just gave him like a peck, and then I went, ah! And then I left the room. That was the end. That was the end. No, we were still a boyfriend and girlfriend, but I was like, I need more time.
Oh. Was he receptive of that? Was he like,
oh,
it's for okay. Sure.
Yes. Oh, that's a good boyfriend.
What was he like? What clubs were he in? Was he in?
He was a soccer player.
You did?
Ariel, a type.
Yeah. I do. I have a type, guys. I dated like soccer players. I dated comedians.
Wow.
I mean, Ned, you know, we say it was love at first sight, but we both had a type.
Love at first type.
Love at first type. I was like, he checks all the boxes.
Yeah, I was a big, I had braces all through high school from like eighth grade until senior year. Mm. And then as my parents say, I bullied the orthodontist to take them off. she was like, you are so mean to that man. I was like, I was not mean. I held him to his promise that I would have my braces off by senior pictures.
You stood up for
chop,
yourself.
Chop, 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 chop. And maybe they came out a little too soon. And maybe, yes, my gap is coming back.
I love your gap.
But you know what?
It's one of my here favorite to stay. Yeah. Talk about again, talking about aging with time, your gap has gotten bigger and it is adorable.
I love your gap.
It's going, it's, you know, finding its way around. But yeah, I was super insecure about my braces and I was like, I want these off so badly.
Yeah.
But now, like when I look at pictures, I'm like, oh my God, it was so worth it. Like,
yeah.
I don't even know. I have like three friends from high school still. Not three. I have probably six that I still stay in touch with. I'm like, I don't care what those people thought about me and my braces.
Yeah.
So many so people. Dumb to be worried about that.
Yeah.
Did you have braces, Maggie?
Oh, I had braces. I had headgear. I still have an overbite. Yeah. I had headgear for my overbite. They offered to do surgery. I was like, nah, we'll try the headgear first. Oh. But yeah, it's just genetic. I was super insecure about my braces as well.
You have great teeth.
I wore glasses right and braces at the same time. So I was just like, frizzy hair. I was like very, yes, I had, I wasn't allowed to wear makeup at school. So like I have a very red birthmark in the middle. I was just like very insecure about the way I looked when I was in high school, but that has slowly dissipated.
Do you guys still wear your retainers? Because I haven't worn mine in a year.
Oh, now. Don't even feel bad.
Oh, I wear my retainer every night.
I have a permanent one and I lost my top one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good. I sometimes put in the top one like every couple months when I remember trying to get so my like teeth don't fall out of the mold. I'm eventually supposed to get a night guard because I grind my teeth at night unknowingly. And that will replace your retainers. Did you know?
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
that's cool. Do that.
At least for the top. Like, let's say you have a permanent bottom, then you can get a top night guard. But talk to your dentist.
Yeah.
I had Invisalign as an adult. I had it like 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And Ned had a bottom retainer as well, which he broke. And so they gave him like a clear night guard, basically. Mm-hmm. And so it's part of our nighttime routine. We both put in our
Putting your chompers.
Yeah, exactly. I don't mind it. It's because I grind my teeth too, and so it works as a night guard as well.
Oh, nice. Okay. I think I'd rather have like a night guard or an Invisalign because mine's like bright orange. There's a crack in mine because they had to like allow more space for like one of the, I have a top retainer too that only closes two of my teeth.
Yeah. Kind of talking about like frizzy hair and like the idea that you're like the most beautiful when you're 22 is definitely not right.
Definitely
not right.
Because you get like more organized and have like know how to do your hair, know how to get your hair cut, know what to wear, you know?
Yeah.
So thank goodness.
Yeah.
There's an interesting discourse happening on in like the beauty sphere of like the way that like obviously capitalism, blah, 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 blah. But the way that everything is marketed as like if you are like 35, 36, you are still young.
Oh, yeah.
But the way people talk about your skin and the way they talk about your beauty routine is that you are aging, that everything's anti-aging, that everything, you are not old if you are 36, 37.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's really interesting because there are like, you know, the 20-year-olds you see that are getting preventative Botox and you're like, whoa.
I know.
Whoa. What kind of disposable incomes are you running around with? Number one, at 20.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a very interesting.
Get that TikTok money.
They're getting that TikTok money.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an interesting discourse of like, do you feel, Ariel, you are the oldest of us?
Yeah.
Would you call yourself old? Would you be like, I'm old?
No. Gosh, yeah. No, not at all. No, I don't feel old. I agree with preventative Botox, but you know, at 35, not at 20. I completely agree with that, or like not agree, but I identify with that where I see those anti-aging products and I'm like, yeah, I need to stave off the aging, you know? Whereas I feel like maybe when our parents were 35 or something like that, they were like, oh, I'm old, you know? I don't know. I feel like 40 is the new 30.
You heard it here first.
Yeah.
So going back to like the anxieties that you had, like Ariel, what would you tell your 17-year-old self of like why it's fine? You didn't have to be anxious about French kissing.
That I didn't have to be anxious about French kissing. You know, I wouldn't change anything, truly. I still feel the like anxiety rush over me when I think of that situation.
Oh, no, it's just like the secondhand embarrassment.
I don't know what I would tell that person. I still don't think that I know what I would tell that person. You know, it just came with like just age, you know, and sort of experience. And it got to the point where like, I felt comfortable enough with my boyfriend in college to like French kiss. I mean,
slip him a little tongue.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like, I mean, at the risk of being too graphic, it's like, you like, there's a difference between making out with someone and just kissing someone. And when you're making out with someone, it's a lot easier to like slip a little tongue in there, right? This is getting weird.
Sure.
I'm sorry, this is getting weird.
I get that. Yeah. There's a difference between a pat goodbye and a, you know, a tongue in, unless you're on The Bachelor.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
In which case, tongue only.
I like those.
And then, Becky, what about you? What would you say about braces? Would you just be like, it made my teeth straight?
Yeah, I would be like, I would have just like told my younger self, like, this really doesn't matter. Like, I am not a person now in life that looks back on like high school and is like, what a time. I wish I could go back. I'm like, honestly, none of those people. I don't know who they are. I don't know what they're doing. They don't know anything about me. Who cares what they think?
Yeah.
You're never going to see them again.
Yeah.
But when you're that age, that's
it's
just
everything.
It's everything.
It's everything.
Yeah. I'm both the happiest I've ever been in like my life right now, but I'm also the most anxious. And I think that has come just by being aware and like the type of things that are going on in the world right now. Like you're both, I don't know. I kind of have like positive and I'm mostly positive feelings towards aging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is such a relief. Oh my gosh. Thank goodness. fun is. Yeah. Yeah. Tell me about like, what is it sort of like about the stability, or is it like you're getting into a place of your job where it's like interesting, or like what brings you joy now that that is different?
Yeah. So I think when I first started my job, I was super anxious always that I was going to make a mistake or something was going to go wrong. But after like, I think like the first 2 years was like the biggest learning curve. But then you finally get into a rhythm and you're like, okay, I'm not as anxious as I used to be. So now I can think a little clearly and make better decisions and like respond accordingly without being like so frantic.
And also probably like guide other people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But then the other half of it is just like, as you get older, you're also seeing everyone around you get older. And like the tough part of that is just watching grandparents' parents also get older. And I think that's like the harder, like becoming more aware of like what's going on.
Well, what's a time in your life you'd want to return to?
I know that this is going to be, you know, kind of a
controversial,
opinion,
controversial opinion,
but high school was really fun for me, but I had a very different high school experience where I like going into high school, I had to make all new friends because we moved to a different country. And I went from an enormous high school to a very small high school. So just the going from a really big school that maybe wasn't like an awesome school to going to a really good school where my teachers were like, Ariel, you seem to be struggling with this. What can I help you with? You know, like that sort of thing. And just I learned a lot about myself in those first couple of years of high school, just because I had to learn to like adapt to this new situation and like adapting in a different country. And like, am I American? Am I British? Like, am I an expat? Like, it was just sort of learning how to be in this new situation. Mm. I remember that time being so exciting, and there were a lot of hard, like difficult moments too. Obviously, like I had to make all new friends. And I struggled to make friends, and I had to, you know, I got really close with my family because we spent a lot of time together because, you know, it was some of the best like times of my lives,
many lives of Ariel Fulmer.
You know, there were, and yeah, it was just such a change, you know, the parties that we went to and the people that I met, it was just different, you know, and I would do it again in a heartbeat. It was really fun.
When you say like you learned a lot about yourself, what did you learn? And do you feel like since you were in a new place, was it more learning or was it like, this is who I want to be and like, I'm going to, and I have like a blank slate and I can just like create it?
Well, I was still in high school. So, you know, like the idea of learning who I was, like you don't know who you are when you're in high school. I didn't learn that until probably after Ned and I had been married. I gained a confidence that I could do it.
Right.
And I think that's really what it was that, you know, I when I was living in Texas, I had grown up with my friends and you grow into a role.
Yeah. What was yours?
I was like the mom.
I've always been
the mom. We always, like when we lived in Texas, all of my friends would come over to my house. I'm not sure why. I think that my parents were always like, bring your friends over. So we would bring all of our friends over and they would eat snacks and we would watch TV.
Oh, you're in that house. That's a good place to be.
And so, you know, so I would always be like the hostess. I'd be like, okay, snacks for everybody. And here's this and here's that. What are we watching? You know, are you staying the night? Like, you know, that sort of thing. What are we doing? But then when we moved, you know, you could break out of the mold that you were put in growing up in the same place. Mm-hmm. And it was just different, you know. I gained the confidence that I could be, that I could live in different roles, which has helped me tremendously throughout my life. Because when you're in a stressful situation or a difficult situation or a new situation, that for a lot of people is one of the most anxiety-inducing things that you can do, right? Mm-hmm. You know, like we were talking earlier about Maggie being in her first like Try Guys video, you know, and Ned's like putting all this pressure on you to like speak up, be bigger, be more, you know? And I'm like, hun, you can't do that to people. Like, you know, but because those situations are difficult and stressful. And I feel like being put in a situation like that and having a lot of like support in throughout that process made me very confident in those situations being able to like then go to college and make friends and like, you know, be like, I didn't go crazy in college because I was like, no, this is just normal. This is fun.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You're like used to it. You're used to new things being thrown at you all the time.
Yeah.
And like constantly adapting.
Yeah.
So what was the role that you slipped into in high school instead? Were you cool? Were you like a party?
No, I was not cool. No.
But not the mom.
I was not cool, but I was okay with that. Yeah. Because actually the cool kids at that school were like doing coke.
Okay.
Yeah. It was a pretty small school, but it was also, you know, a lot of people came from like families. It was a private school. And so it was like there were wealthier families there and people who traveled a lot and people who wore like designer clothes.
Yeah.
So those were the cool kids. You know, I was a very normal kid. I was just like completely average, played sports, drank a little bit, went to the parties, went home early.
Was being American like a big part of your identity in high school?
No.
No.
It wasn't.
Yeah.
Because most of the kids at the school were American.
Oh, okay.
Some were not, but actually a lot of what I did in high school was try to be British.
Yay. Oh my gosh. That's so funny. That's so cool.
Did you and your sister like talk in British accents?
We did. We did. Accents? We tried so hard. We tried so hard to like assimilate.
Yeah.
Because we were on the rowing team together, my sister and I. And, so we would
your
have to like
little bosses.
Yeah. So we would like we would take the tube to the rowing club, which was across the city, and we spent a lot. And we had like weekend practices and morning practices, and a lot of times we would, you know, just be out in the city, like being kids, and we didn't want to explain to people that we were American. It was just easier to just pretend to be British.
Wonder if they saw right through us.
Yeah, I'm sure they saw right through us.
When I was little and we went skiing, me and my friend would always pretend to be like from a different country on the lift. And I'm sure the people were like, come on, like, stop talking.
Like, kids these days.
Do you pretend to be like Canadian or did you pretend to be like
different
Dutch?
One every time?
We just, oh my God.
We switch it up. And we were like eight. I'm sure it was like really bad, poorly done, but.
Like little Irish kids.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so that's really interesting about switching identities. And I think identity and aging also sort of like go hand in hand and settling in. I mean, like you said that you felt like you figured out who you were after you met Ned. What was the journey? Well, we'll do a whole episode on that.
I think that just came with age.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about aging. Yeah. I think that came with age. But I mean, what about for you guys? Do you feel like you know who you are? When did that happen?
Yes and no, I think. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. Yeah. Sometimes I'm like, still working on it. Mm-hmm. But I think I like age. I like getting older. Mm-hmm. I think you get better with age, you know?
Like a fine wine, Becky.
Like an age. But if I could go back, though, I'd go back to early 20s. Not that I would do a lot different. Mm-hmm. But like,
tell us about your early 20s. Yeah. Like what were you doing?
Well, right when I turned 21 is when Keith and I started dating. Right. So I never had like that going out to bars sort of experience or like, not that I would want it, but it has always been something in my head that I was like, oh, that must be like fun. Like, what was that like? And then when I think about it, I'm like, I don't know, maybe it's not that fun. You know, I kind of go back and forth kind of that, like, not grass is always greener.
Yeah.
Because like, I'm glad I'm married and I'm glad we started dating when I was 21.
Yeah.
But it was definitely like a growing up together kind of thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so you would go back to that?
Yeah, I think I'd go back to it. And I think like the year that Keith and I lived apart, I would have done more.
Really?
Yeah.
done more with what?
Like gone out more with my friends. Like I feel like I did foster a lot of like really good friendships during that year. Cause I also worked a lot, which was nice. But I think I could have done more. I could have been like less mopey, especially like, cause we had a deadline for when we were going to stop being long distance. Like I knew it was going to be over in a year, but you still get sad.
Yeah.
You know, you still get bummed. Yeah. So I think I would have spent more time like, just like hanging out with my friends and
When were you long distance?
23 to 24. We were long distance. I had always wanted to move to LA because I went to school for acting and that's what I thought I wanted to do at the time.
Yeah.
But I had like, since I was freshly graduated, I just didn't want to go yet. And Keith had already like, he was 25 or 26 at the time.
Oh, he was in LA and
so
you were
okay. He had already, you know, kind of done the Chicago market and, you like, know, did his Coors ad. So he was able to move. And so we did long distance for that year. But yeah, I think I would have.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Tried to do more things. Maybe gotten a hobby. Sure. Learned a skill.
So you were sort of like, I'm not ready to go to LA. And then you were just like, let me give myself a year. Or after the year, you were like, okay, now I'm ready.
No, I knew it was going to be a year. Because I knew I love Chicago, but it's so cold.
Yeah.
It is so cold. And I never wanted to be cold again. Mm-hmm. And I had just always wanted to move to LA.
And you weren't ready to leave your family yet, right?
Yeah.
No. Yeah. I didn't want to leave them yet either. Mm-hmm. So it was just like, oh yeah, I'll stay here for a year.
Yeah.
I was like, NBD.
What did you do in that year? Were you...
I worked so much. I just like was constantly waiting tables. I was like, yeah, I'll take that double. Yeah, I'll do that. Awesome. And then, I was living with my girlfriends at the time. It was the first time I ever lived with women. Wow. I will never do it again.
Ever. Why?
I hated it. I hated living with women. I'm going to say it. I loved living with a gay man. That is my ideal partner. For cohabitation.
Why? What did you not like?
It's just the like politics of everything. It was like we were all pretty good friends in college. And then, you know, two of us worked at the same place. And so it was just like seeing a lot of each other and a lot of each other's boyfriends too, because they both were in long-term relationships. Mm-hmm. And so it was just like, a lot to be in that shared living space, but it was only $400 a month.
What?
I know, right?
Oh, the
dream. And it was in like a beautiful location. It was a gorgeous apartment. I miss it so much.
Oh,
what part of Chicago? But I do not miss living there. It was on Addison and Levitt. So it was technically.
It's like north. It's in Andersonville?
No, it's not Andersonville. It's Roscoe Village. It was Roscoe Village, by Southport. And I lived right above the bus stop. So every morning I got to hear Addison and Levitt.
Yeah. And what was good about like early 20s? Like what do you miss or what would you redo? Just like growing with Keith or what?
Yeah, I think I would definitely save more. I would definitely save more. Being at, 21 to 24, walking around with like wads of serving cash was like not... I don't know if you guys are the same way, but if there's like money in my hand, it's like more dangerous than money on a credit card to me.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Like if I have a 20 in my pocket, it's like if there's a valet, I'll be like, oh, it's just valet. I have a 20.
Really?
I've always been that way. If I was like out to dinner, I'd be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to get this nicer glass of wine because I have this, extra serving money here. So
I am kind of the opposite.
I'm the opposite.
Yeah.
I'm
like, it feels more real when I use cash.
You're actually physically like holding it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
If it's singles, you're like, okay, I would like to allot this much to this and then this much to this.
Yeah. So I think I would save more. I would probably quit my job. I would have quit serving much sooner.
What would you do instead?
I would have done literally anything else. I would have found...
It was just soul-sucking.
It was just like, people are so mean. Yeah. Like, I just think, like, it's hard. I think everyone should have to wait tables at some point in their life, even if it's just for 1 week, to see, like, truly how bad people can be so that you're never surprised later in life when people are bad. You're like, well, I knew you always had it in you to be this way. Like, it's kind of a negative way to look at it, but it was like, also very, like... now people can say shit to my face and I'll just smile and be like, oh yeah.
Such a life skill.
And it's like very much about like reading people and then being like, well, if I just don't change my expression and I just look at you the exact same way, everything's totally fine. This like, is great.
Yeah. I'm fine. You're fine.
I'm fine. It's you're fine. We're all having
fun. The kitchen's working on it. It's fine.
And I see you enjoyed your meal. But yeah, I probably would have quit serving sooner.
Yeah.
And found any other job. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what I would have done because the money was addicting.
Oh. Yeah.
I have friends who just are lifetime servers.
I love career servers.
But they were like, they quit during the pandemic because people got meaner and they tipped less.
Mm-hmm. It's insane to me that like, I don't know. I've had some shitty servers in the past. Better believe they still got 20% and thank you so much. Everything was wonderful.
Like, you don't like, not tip people. That's just insane. That's not a question. You don't not tip them.
20% minimum every time or don't go out to eat.
Yeah.
Stay home.
Yeah.
Cook your food.
Yeah.
But it was a good life skill.
It
was a learning, definitely a learning experience.
Yes. But you would have gotten out.
I would have gotten out sooner. Yeah, you just get sucked back in. I left it a couple times to do, like, I worked at Sprinkles. Yeah. I was like, I don't want to wait tables. Mm-hmm. But I also don't have lots of other skills to apply. So I was like, Sprinkles sounds nice.
Wait, what's Sprinkles?
The cupcake store.
Aww.
So I just ran into people had Sprinkles and ice cream.
I've never had Sprinkles.
Someone get Rainy Sprinkles cupcakes.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, I'll bring Sprinkles one day. It's good. So maybe your birthday.
Yeah.
Early birthday Sprinkles. Yeah.
They're still best cupcakes to get for, you know, like a party or something.
Oh, yeah.
They're coming in the box. Like, and,
yeah. But they're fun. And I worked at the movie theater and I was like, I'm not going to be a server. I'm going to work at the movie theater.
I'm going to watch movies all day.
Which was awesome. That was really good. But yeah, I would have done different career choices, but like the friends I had and the stuff I did, I really liked in my early 20s. It was just like a very like tight-knit group of people that
It was like friends.
It was friends. Yeah, everybody lived so close. Like everybody from my college moved to Chicago and it was very like
you'd drink, you'd go out, you'd work.
Yeah.
It was all just very like fun.
Yeah. I would definitely say it was definitely a time in my life when I'd be like, oh, it was a lifestyle.
Yeah.
It was definitely like the server lifestyle of like sleeping till noon.
Right.
Getting ready for work, going on an audition, going to work, going out drinking, sleeping till noon, getting ready for work, going to a class. Like it was a very like, yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds kind of romantic.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
It was definitely like dirtier than that. Like, it was like a grungy time. But yeah, it was, I had fun. I liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maggie, really quick, what's a time that you would go back to?
I think the summers in between high school. Because I don't necessarily want to go back to high school, but I loved the friends that I had.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I also remember, I had gone to Peru pretty frequently when I was younger, but I fully don't remember my first trip until probably like middle school and high school. And I feel like my entire world kind of just like opened up when I went over there and like met 50% of the rest of like more than that, like 70% of my family who lived over there and like how different it is from where I grew up. And spending time with my grandparents and my sisters and my mom, like, having that time where we all had no responsibilities besides hanging out with each other. We all have like jobs now.
So nice.
Yeah.
And like, it's such a rare moment when we can all be together. So just I think I could just
family.
Go. Yeah. Being with family, being able to spend time with friends that isn't surrounded by just school or work.
Yeah.
And I think those times were really special.
Yeah.
And then if I could go back and change something, I think I'd take more time in college because my college experience was actually unlike anybody.
Well, you were nursing at 21. When you said that, I was like, wait a second.
Yeah, I like went boom, boom, boom. I chose the school that wasn't impacted. I wanted to get in and out. But now I like didn't get to study abroad, which I do regret. Mm-hmm. Like if anyone, if you guys do have the means to ever do that, I highly recommend traveling abroad.
Yeah.
And then I feel like there's so many nursing programs now that you can get as like a second degree or you can get like an accelerated nursing program. Like I wish I just would have taken my time and like relished that life stage more. Cause I was just very like, okay, I have to get into nursing school. Okay, mm-hmm. I have to get straight A's. And like, I was just kind of a hermit 4 years of nursing school. And then I like popped out and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm an adult now and I have responsibilities.
Oh, going straight into nursing at 21, that's like immediate adulthood.
Yeah. What's the other age that people would normally go into nursing if they did like, because is it traditional 4 years of college and then you go to nursing school?
If you get your bachelor's.
Then, and what you did was all 4 years where you got your nursing degree and a bachelor's at the same time, or is the nursing degree?
There's a couple different other programs. There's like UCLA has a program where you can study 2 years after you had your bachelor's degree in whatever field that you want. You study for 2 years as to become a nurse and you graduate with your master's in nursing. It's like, whoa. We had like, there was a couple nurses that started with me at UCLA that like were kinesiology or like physical therapists. And then they decided they wanted to be nurses. So then I just wish I could have been told, like, if you want to be a nurse, don't worry. There's lots of like pathways for you to get there. You don't need to be in such a rush.
Yeah. You don't have to just do this accelerated program. Yeah. You could go to
college. I wish I just like
have a minor.
I know. I remember just graduating high school and everyone's like, what do you want to do? And I was like, I don't know.
Nursing.
I like helping people. I guess I do this. Yeah. And then I just dove head first. Yeah.
What was your, so when you went to Peru, did you stay with your grandma?
Mm-hmm.
What was the house like? Like what street was it on? Where was it, close to the water? Was it like?
So it was in the capital of Peru. I'd say we were like 20 minutes from the water if we drove by taxi. It was the same house that my mom grew up in. So they've still in that house now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
So there's just like lots of memories, lots of like trinkets. I remember she had like a lot of Parisian inspired furniture. We'd have like dinner together every night and it was really nice. It was like a slow paced way of living.
Did they have a backyard?
They had like a little, it wasn't like a garden. I wanted to say it's like all tile back there and like lots of like clothes hangers. You could, the neighbors had like roosters and that would wake us up every morning.
How long did you usually go for?
I think in the summers, like at least 2 weeks, sometimes a month if we could.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Just because like the flight there was pretty expensive, especially to bring your kids over there. And it was like an 8 hour, sometimes if we had a layover, longer than 8 hours or 9 hour flight.
Yeah.
So we really wanted to make use of our time with our grandma.
Yeah.
So and you guys you get that time change thing. You get used to a routine and then you can like enjoy yourself, not just like, go, go, go. We have to do all these things because we only have a week here.
Exactly. Yeah. And there was just so many different family members. When we were there, I think we saw a different family member the last time I was there, which was like 4 years ago now. Gosh, it doesn't seem that long, but because of the panini, things just, we would see a different family member every single day. And we didn't even tell my dad's side of the family that we were there because we didn't want to make them mad.
I hope none of them listen to this.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Family secrets. I know, right? She's like, oh God, don't tell your dad's side of the family over here.
That does sound wonderful. Because also, I mean, you were there with your mom and your sisters and you guys were all like teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
You were a little bit older.
Mm-hmm.
And so you could kind of wander around by yourselves if you wanted to.
And spend time with, like, my mom had three brothers. So just like, we would always keep in touch via phone and like FaceTime now. But back then it was like only the phone. So I feel like I didn't really know who my uncles were
at
the time. And then just like learning who they were, their interests. Like one of my uncles is like super into writing and like a lot of literature and history. So he would just like expose me to all these like cool like Peruvian folk tales and stuff like that.
Was it like huge meals where you guys would sit around and just like talk for hours?
Yeah, lots of talking.
Oh.
Lots and lots of talking, yeah.
Oh, that sounds like such a good wonderful time. I want to go back to that time.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I go to Peru with
you. I don't know. We should all go to Peru. One day.
We'll go to Grandma's house.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
I feel like this has been a really nice podcast. I really enjoyed spending this time with you guys and with the listeners. Going down memory lane.
Yeah.
Aging is beautiful. And
it's lucky. You're lucky that you get to go grow old. Some people don't get to grow old.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh.
Like, thank
you. Not a morbid thought, but Yes. A little morbid.
It's kind
there.
Of,
people yeah. don't get to
thank
grow
you,
old.
Body, for
thank you, body,
getting me, mm-hmm. letting me wake up this morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everybody yes. say thank you to your bodies today. Yeah. Give yourself a little hug. Mm. Make sure you're washing your hands, wearing your masks.
Get after sex.
Yes, please.
Be after sex. Get your booster. Mm-hmm. Be nice to people. And always tip your server 20% or more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Love that.
Bye. All right.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.